Hello and welcome to the Burled Arch Podcast. Are you ready to Iditarod? The race started just a few hours ago at the Willow Restart, and we're going to jump right into it.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with a top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
We're calling all fans of the Iditarod. For a limited time only, you can receive a sticker from Mushing as a thank you gift when you donate online. Visit mushing.com/donate to support us today and keep your independent Mushing media thriving. We mentioned last night that we're offering a special deal to our listeners. Starting today and through the Finisher's Banquet, you can become a member of the Team and Trail Foundation and Mushing Magazine for 54% off our regular price. That's right, for just $23, you will get access to our digital archives, print issues of Mushing Magazine in your mailbox, bonus content, and much, much more. Sign up today at mushing.com/mushingplus.
Hello and welcome to the Burled Arch Podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Michelle.
And the teams are officially on the trail for the 2026 Iditarod, and we are going to set the scene for you now.
Now, we happen to live very near where the Willow Restart is. So we took off on our snow machine out of our outbound trails that happen to be the Hessler Norris Trail System right here in Willow, Alaska. We made our way around to Tuxedo Road, crossed the highway, went along the school in front of the community center, down and around onto Willow Lake next to the Floatplane Airport. And once there, we got a nice little parking spot, made our way up the hill and over to the staging area where all the dog mushers were at with their dogs in their dog boxes, dog trailers, dog trucks, everything you can think of. They were starting to unpack and get their gear going for inspections, as well as making sure their runners were right. They had plenty of snacks going on and just, you know, basking in the sun, actually, because the weather cleared out and we ended up with a little bit of bluebird skies, at least for a little while, right up until the start.
So we arrived at about 11:30, about 2.5 hours before the official start of the race, and we jumped into the media area, met a few friends, did a few interviews that we're going to bring up here in just a second, while everybody was prepping, as Michelle said. The first thing I noticed is it was pretty empty. Of course it was, with only 37 mushers in this year's Iditarod, including two expedition teams. So a little bit light, wasn't it, Michelle?
It did seem a little bit light this year, but I gotta tell you, the fans showed up in full force out here in Willow. In fact, I would wager that there were more people in attendance in Willow than there were down in Anchorage during the ceremonial start.
So we arrived at 11:30, about 2.5 hours before the official start, and it automatically appeared to be relatively light in the staging area with only 37 mushers, including two expedition teams. I've seen the parking lot a lot fuller, haven't you, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure, is there three expedition teams or just two? I've been a little bit confused on that too.
It's definitely two, with Shell Roki and Steve Curtis being supported by his crew. And we're going to talk about that because we have an interview with one of those teams. But as we mentioned, we did get a few interviews, some very cool stories. We're going to start one that adds a little bit of flavor to this. Michelle, you talked to a bona fide chef. Set the scene.
I did. I spoke with one of the quote unquote trailgating chefs for Paige Drobny. And here's what he and I discussed.
So I'm Michelle with Mushing Magazine and the podcast. What's your name? Who's your musher? And what exactly is going on here?
I'm Doug. I support Squid Acre Kennels and Paige Drobny. So what we're doing here is we're doing a little bit of lunch before the big launch of the race.
So you are the chef extraordinaire, tailgate style. I see a little bit of beer. I see a dip going on. I see a little hibachi grill. What's going on under the grill lid?
So right now we are just warming it up, but it's going to be ground moose, or like moose burgers. We also have moose dogs and also some venison dogs that are going to go on the grill today.
That sounds wonderful. I'm going to swing back around you guys and let you know what it tastes like. So for Paige, is she going to partake before she gets on the sled and goes out on the range?
Absolutely. Yep. We usually get her nice and well fed before she heads out.
You know, I don't know anybody else out here that I've seen a personal chef for, so I think that she has got it going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been doing this for a couple of years, so we have fun with it. It's
awesome.
Great.
Thanks for joining me. I do appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Now, I did not get a chance to swing back by you guys, so I can't give you the rating on those items that he was cooking up for her. Robert, did you get a chance to stop by?
I didn't, but I got one of Tony Ryder's famous Iditarod cookies. Those are for sure a much sought after item. But next, we're going to venture away from the Iditarod Food Network, and you're going to talk to Bailey and Keaton. They were just right down the road, so to speak, just a couple of trucks over. Set the scene here.
Well, I did move away from Doug and his wonderful lunch that he was making for Paige, and I wandered up onto Bailey and Keaton. And I gotta tell you, their personalities were so electric. I got sucked right on over, and I was eavesdropping, and I actually started to become part of their conversation, and I got these two to go back and forth during their banter with me. And so it might sound a little confusing, but here's how it started. They were dogging each other on their gear, in particular, their sleds.
I'd like to start off with your names and then why you're here and a little dog story. I loved what you guys were just talking about with the trailers and, you know, gear and whose sled's better than the other sled. Maybe we can talk about that. I've got a hockey stick sled that's 20 years old that I love myself, and I'd probably take that out on Iditarod if I was ever ambitious enough to do that. So
that's what I did last year. It didn't work out too well. Bailey Vitello, BAILEYVITELLO. And I'm running a Snorri, and the sled he's running is a Snorri too. So mine's 2 years newer, I want to say, but his is immaculate too. So they're basically both brand new sleds.
They're looking like the Ferraris.
That adds about 5 miles per hour. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about that number 3 Earnhardt sticker. So, you know, is that to make everybody else afraid?
No, I'm just a big fan. And, you know, this is the best style of racing there is. And watching NASCAR and watching Earnhardt as a little boy is probably part of the reason why I like racing so much.
You know, Robert has portrayed dog mushing, especially racing, sprint racing, as very similar to NASCAR. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, and I'm happy that you guys are fans. But real quick, I don't care if it's a lead dog or if it's a wheel dog or it's a dog you left back at the ranch. I need a dog story, if you guys don't mind. Bailey, we'll start with you.
Yeah, a dog story. I'm trying to think. A good one actually is the other night before we left, we were on a 5-day set before we came down here, and a moose ran through the team. You know, it didn't step on a single dog, got real lucky, and that leader looked up at that moose like he wanted to take a chomp out of it, and I'll never forget the day I looked at my 2-year-old leader staring down a moose and not even being afraid of anything, just wanting to bite it. And that was a good feeling to see such a confident dog in that age.
You know, I think it's a better story there that dog took that decision and kept on going and didn't cause havoc.
Well, I think the moose was moving a little faster than us.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a thousand different dog stories. It's cool to just see the dogs develop. Like, we got Perry. He's been on the team. We've had him for almost 4 years now. And he's always kind of been a little bit timid and kind of a little bit shy. And just this year, he's really kind of been standing out and being a lot more confident in himself. I had him positioned behind Swing the other day, and I had the team go haw, like where we never go. And the leaders were not trying to go haw. And he pulled the whole team from, you know, middle of the team almost over. And that was pretty cool to see. But nothing. Hopefully we don't see any moose.
No, we're going to hope that nobody sees any moose. But thank you both for letting me eavesdrop on the sled discussions and for joining me for this little soundbite. We do appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Up next is Michelle's potential rookie of the year that she gave in her predictions on Friday night. It is Jody Potts Joseph. I know that you had a nice couple of minutes with her, and boy, when she ran by with her team when we were sitting over on Willow Lake a little bit later, she was jamming. She had all the dogs in some type of native type coat. They had bells jingling and the whole nine yards. It was pretty cool. Set the scene for Jody.
Yeah, you know, when she was coming at us, everybody did stop what they were doing and take time to take a look at her dogs. Not only did they have bells on, they were making beautiful music, and all of them seemed to be pretty much in step with each other. She looked good. She had a big smile on her face, and, you know, she got to ride off into the sunset, so to speak. And I really do hope that she has a fabulous race.
My name is Jody Potts Joseph from Eagle Village, Alaska.
Jody, it's nice to meet you. I have you as my rookie of the year on the podcast, so I'm cheering you on. I'm cheering you on. Why are you why are you here this year?
I grew up with sled dogs, and my school principal when I was a little girl in the village did Iditarod, and it's something I always thought about. And, you know, I just had a love for dog mushing since my brother would always take me out with his team when I was a little girl. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I love a good challenge, and, you know, I've been working on building up my own team. So I'm here, and I'm just excited to see new country and see friends in the villages, and yeah.
Who was the school principal?
Terry McMullen. He raced in like the early 80s.
That's right. We have archived all of the Team and Trail Mushers Monthly News, and I've seen his name in there quite a few times, actually, because I've scanned every one of those from 1959 to 2009. So we're doing a little bit of a dog feature. Can you give me like a 1 minute about one of the dogs? Doesn't matter if it's the star dog or not, but just a story about one of your dogs.
Yeah, one of the first dogs that we got from our dog Stormy is from our first litter we had out of the line of Flash. And Flash was a dog that my kids and I trained and raised since he was a puppy. I got him from a CV kennel, Mitch Seavey's kennel. And in 2013, I had to get out of dogs, so I gave him and others, my whole team, to Jesse Holmes. And so a lot of my dogs are out of that line, and now Stormy is my big bad boy that's on my team, and he can run anywhere. He runs lead. He's really just hard worker. He's really chill, actually. He'll just sit there and just wait to go and just be. But he's the sire of quite a few of my pups now, so using him in my breeding program. And, yeah, he's just a all-around outstanding dog.
He's that black dog, isn't he?
Right there,
yeah, he's absolutely gorgeous, got a good keen eye to him, and he looks like he is chill and he's happy, and I think he's gonna give you a good time down the trail. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, guys, there has been a lot of chatter about the Expedition Mushers on the Trail, and Michelle spent quite a bit of time with Thomas Werner and Shell Roki. We made sure that we figured out how to say his name so we didn't butcher it over the next couple of weeks. Michelle, set the scene here for this 8-minute interview.
Well, I walked up onto Thomas, who was sitting down on his sled. I'm not sure if he was putting some gear in his bag or not. But he was gracious to take some time with me. And, you know, I asked him some questions. I didn't want to be asking him the same questions everybody else was asking him, but I most likely ended up doing exactly that. But we moved right on over to Shell, and he explained very eloquently the reasons behind his desire to do this race.
All right, I'm Michelle with Mushing Magazine, and we were here with Thomas.
Yes.
And if you could please say your last name so I don't make it so terrible.
Varnick. Yeah. Or you just say Warner.
That's how we've been saying it, but Varnick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll make sure that Robert and I get it right tonight on the podcast when we do our coverage. So what's different for you this go around?
Well, we are doing a different class, so it's very different. So I think it's a good thing for the sport to evolve and find other ways to get people into the sport. And especially the expedition class, because it is expensive to do this. So if you can get people that get interest, like people are going up Mount Everest and using a lot of money on that, maybe this is a new thing that we can bring people with resources into the sport.
And I think that's an interesting perspective that you bring out there, that Everest is the other adventure that a lot of people with money go and try to do. And, you know, dog mushing isn't cheap whether you have money or not. I know I've been involved in the sport for a little more than 20 years, and I know exactly how much money I've spent to maintain a dog kennel of about 35 dogs over this time frame and also go into business. We own Mushing Magazine, as you know. But interestingly, though, you guys are going to go out there. You're going to set some kind of new class up. Are you hopeful that this really does become a separate class that is going alongside Iditarod or with Iditarod as it is this year?
Well, it is different rules. And I think the important with those different rules that you make it possible for people that doesn't have that experience. Because, you know, part of the real race is that, you know, you can take dogs out but not putting in. So suddenly you're down to a limited team if you're not are able to do the dog care that you are supposed to do. You know, you need experience to do the dog care. So I think if you're going to make it possible for people to get to the finish line, I think you have to, you know, change the rules. But, you know, the rules we have this year is maybe not the right rules. And maybe next year they make some different rules. So I think it's just we have to start and look at other things to get people interested in sports. That's the thing.
So my final question to you is, we participate with the Serum Run expedition. So why not the Serum Run?
Well, the Serum Run is a different race, you know, and you're not allowed to, you know, you have to bring all the dogs. And, you know, if you're going to have people to do this, you know, they don't have time to use 4 years or 5 years. Or, you know, Selinga has actually been spending 3 years in front of this, and I think that's kind of unique. But yeah, I think other people will probably train one winter and then we'll do the race next winter. So you know, I don't think you can say to people you can do it at Iditarod, but you have to spend 5 years of your life to try it. So we have to make it possible for people to get into the sport.
I appreciate that, and thank you very much for your time. Good luck out there on this expedition.
Thank you.
Would you mind doing it with me? That's okay. Yeah.
That's okay. What's your name?
I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
With Mushing. We do the podcast every night.
Okay.
Where we do coverage. We've done it for 16 years. We also own Mushing Magazine. Would you please say your name so that we are saying it properly on the show?
Shell. It's spelled K-J-E-L-L. Last name R-O-K-K-E, Roki.
Shell Roki.
Yes.
It's so great to meet you finally and be able to pronounce your name correctly. Can you tell me what really piqued your interest in not only Iditarod, but to be able to participate as an expedition musher?
You know, I mean, my background is that I was fishing out of Alaska in Dutch Harbor for many years. So I know Alaska. And of course, Alaska has fascinated me. I'm coming to the biggest gold discovery in Nome. And it was actually referred to as the three lucky Swedes. But it's actually two Swedes and one Norwegian. That's the truth. So. And of course, when you were young, you read the book about Jack London. And so it fascinated me. And now in this stage of my life, I had the time and ability to do it. This is the fourth year I'm up here. So 3 years that we've been preparing ourselves to do this. I mean, 1,000 miles in some of the roughest, coldest place on earth, you know, it's an undertaking. I feel comfortable because I'm together with Thomas. He's done this many times and have won once. So I think it's also we have a team with me. And so we do this as a team, and it's not against the, not competing with anyone besides ourselves. And the key, rule number one is to have a good time, and rule number two is not forget rule number one.
I like these rules. These are exactly the rules of the Alaskan way, if you will, right? Yeah. Always have fun, always work hard, yeah. And you will, in the end, have fun by working hard.
Correct. And I you know, I like the American spirit. I'm Norwegian. I did come to Seattle on the 1st of March, 1980. I was then, you know, 20 years old. So it's U.S. has shaped me, and I'm forever grateful for what I experienced in the U.S. and in Alaska in particular. So, and also a nice way for me to give to the local villages and smiles for miles and miles for smile, you know. So it's, and also being part of the Mushing family in the way we are doing it, and the reason why I contributed to the starting fee and other things is to show my respect to the real mushers that is doing this. And I admire them because you not only are managing yourself, but you have to manage the dogs. And it's often, like I said to many, like a family venture, you know, for the mushers. So it's nice to be here, and this is like, you know, a good place to be for me right now.
Absolutely. And I think that this could be a way forward for the future of dog mushing as a whole.
Yeah, we might be onto something. Like Thomas, this year's rules might not be the perfect ones. The way we are doing it might not be perfect, but there's lessons learned. And you know, that Stevens is here, you know, in the second together with Jeff King, you know, Steve Curtis. So for me, it's nice to see that he's joining as well. And I think it'd be a nice way for some like Jeff King to bring the sport to a, not a different level, but to invite people that have the resources to do it.
Absolutely. Well, Shell, thank you so much for the time, and I do appreciate it. I hope that you enjoy the trail. I've gone as far as Yetna Station, and it is a gorgeous ride, and I hope that you get to see Sleeping Lady on the way today.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Nice to meet you.
So there you guys go. A few interviews from the Willow Restart. And speaking of Thomas and Shell, they are currently in fourth and fifth place at 60 miles into the race. They are definitely holding up with the front runners of the pack. Here we are at just about 8 o'clock p.m. Alaska time. Ryan Reddington in first place at mile 71, so 904 miles to go, followed by Jesse Holmes, Jesse Royer, and then we have Thomas and Shell, and then Paige Drobny and Travis Beals. So a lot of the teams are already rocking and rolling. They have their strategies in place, and it is going to be a long first night. You'll start to see on the trackers here pretty quickly teams stopping probably at Skwitna or just one side or the other to do their first camping trip. A lot of the middle to the back of the packers will start it there, and then the fast front runners will take off on their way up to the Alaska range. And of course, we will be here every night to report on that. Michelle, we're going to do our next musher profile. Who do you have for us?
We're going to talk about Wade Mars tonight. And I know that I have done him as a musher profile in years past, but Wade is back. So let's give people that are first time listeners or who don't know who Wade Mars is, let's introduce you to him. Wade is a true Kinnick kid, according to Iditarod's Facebook page. Born and raised in Kinnick, Alaska, a place many consider the historic cradle of sled dog racing. Today, he operates 49th State Sled Dogs in Willow alongside with his wife, Sophia, and their two sons, Mac and Asher. Together, they care for and train a 40-dog kennel built around the traditions and demands of long-distance mushing. Wade grew up behind a dog team, learning the craft from his late uncle and members of the legendary Reddington family. Those early lessons shaped the way he approaches the sport today. He often says the real heroes of mushing are the men and women who founded the Iditarod, and that sense of respect for the sport's history is something he carries onto the trail every season. Over the years, Wade has built an impressive racing resume. He is a 10-time finisher of the Iditarod and has also competed in major races, including the Yukon Quest Alaska, the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, the UP 200, the Can-Am Crown, and the Klondike Dog Derby, as well as many mid-distance events across Alaska. For Wade, the toughest conditions are part of the appeal. He often says the harder the trail and the worse the weather, the more he and his team thrive. In addition to racing, Wade has worked behind the scenes to support the sport. He has served on the Iditarod Board of Directors as president of the Iditarod Official Finishers Club and on the Iditarod Rules Committee, contributing his experience to help guide the race and its future. When he's not competing, Wade spends time with his family and works as a sled dog tour guide, sharing Alaska's mushing heritage with visitors from around the world.
And Wade just recently moved up here from the lower 48. I believe he was living in the UP of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula, and he really picked a good new name for his kennel, the 49th State Sled Dogs. Being a guy that knows a thing or two about marketing and search engine optimization, that's a heck of a good name, isn't it?
It really is. You know, not every state refers to themselves by the number that they were given when they joined the union. But up here in Alaska, we are very proud to be that 49th state.
Yeah, I have no idea who state number 21 is. If you do know that, let us know in the comment section or over on socials, and maybe we will start calling out all the states as we go where all these guys are from, because we have several mushers from outside, as we say it up here in Alaska. Yeah, Wade is a fan favorite. He's been around the sport for a long time. As you said, he grew up in mushing. I think he and I did an interview together many years ago on our old mushing radio feed. I'm trying to find the archives to all those, and I hope to have those during this year's coverage. Michelle, we are going to kick off our brand new segment that is called The Moment in Mushing History.
Welcome to the Mushing Podcast. It's time for another memorable moment in mushing history, sponsored by Peak Experience, providing experiential and team-building courses.
For tonight's moment in mushing history, we're going to go back to March 1985 from Team and Trail. Here we go. Libby Riddles challenges Storm and wins the Iditarod, Nome, Alaska. A 28-year-old woman who plunged into a blinding blizzard while others stayed behind cruised into Nome well ahead of the pack on Wednesday, March 20th, to become the first woman to win the grueling 1,100-mile Iditarod trail race. "I can't believe it yet," said Libby. "I thought I had the team to do it. I didn't know if I could keep up my end of it." She drove her team of 13 dogs under the wooden arch on Front Street at 9:20 a.m., bearing time. Her elapsed time of 18 days, 20 minutes, and 17 seconds for the run that started in Anchorage made it the fourth slowest Iditarod on record and the slowest since 1976. Bad storms and official holds in the race mandating that all the drivers stop in their tracks at the checkpoints contributed to the slow times. For her victory, Riddles earned a record prize of $50,000. The next 19 mushers will split the rest of the record $200,000 purse. Asked what she planned to do with her winnings, Riddles said, maybe Hawaii, and a box of dog biscuits for each of the dogs. The team was the same that Riddles' boyfriend and training partner, Joe Garney, drove to a third-place finish last year. I want to say one more thing, Robert, before you let us know your thoughts about this entry. It is Women's History Month right now, and what a way to honor it with this story about Libby Riddles.
I love hearing this old Iditarod history. It's one of the main reasons why we wanted to purchase and take over Mushing Magazine and Team and Trail. There has only been a few women to win the Iditarod, Libby Riddles being one of them. We would love to hear who the other women are, so drop us a message. And is this year the year that a woman wins the race? There are a few big-time teams that could do that, including Paige Drobny, who did very good last year, Michelle Phillips, Jesse Royer, and maybe a dark horse or two out there. It could be the year of the woman.
Tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to dive deep into the first 24 hours on the trail. We should see a team or two start to pull away, and if you watch the trackers closely, you will see a bit of the strategies starting to develop. If you have questions, be sure to leave us a text or voicemail by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881. Again, that's 303-578-9881. Or you can leave us an email at podcast@mushing.com.
So, guys, that is the wrap-up for our day here in Willow at the Willow Restart. Looking forward to seeing how this first 24 hours develops. I am looking forward to seeing who takes off running. There are a lot of good teams out there, a lot of rookies, and I'm really anxious to see how these two expedition teams do. So stick with us. If you have not already, hit that follow, subscribe, whatever button it's called on the podcast player that you use. That way you will never miss an episode, but you can probably set your clocks pretty close to these shows airing at about 8 p.m. Alaska time. So whatever time that is on your time zone, you will know what time they're going to be. Remember, this is a 24-hour race, so things can develop at 2 o'clock a.m. Alaska time or 3 p.m. New York City time. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.